gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. When he noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor, in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host, and the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, "Give this person your place," and then in disgrace, you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, "Friend, move up higher." Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He said also to the one who had invited him, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return, and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Let us pray. O God, we come here and gather here this day, in many ways humbled by the things which are perhaps happening in our lives or in the world around us. Yet we come and hear your invitation to take a place of honor at your banquet of forgiveness, mercy, grace, love for all. Help us hear your invitation for each of us this day as we contemplate your word and your spirit speaks to us. In Jesus' name, amen. A crew had been working hard all morning at the church, preparing for another year of that particular church's preschool. A group of men were in one area doing some construction, working on walls. A group of women happened to be in another area, finishing up some classrooms, doing some repairs there. The pastor was there, and finally it was time for him to leave as he thanked the faithful members for their service. "I've got to get going to make some preparations to meet with a couple who is about to be married," he said. And then he called and asked, "How about y'all? Do you have any advice that you would give a couple that's starting out?" Well, from one room, the group of women made comments about such deep things as patience, forgiveness, love, understanding. And then from the other room, the men started talking about luncheon meats. Patience, forgiveness, love, understanding. In contrast, luncheon meats. How could you be more opposite? And yet maybe the two groups were not that far apart. I remember the first year of my marriage, at various times, either Chris or myself tried to cook each other meals, and we always ended up with a big burnt mess. And as a backup, we ate a lot of luncheon meats that first year. And with those luncheon meats came a lot of patience and forgiveness and love and understanding. In today's scriptures, we hear some special words that stand out and yet at first might seem to be opposites of each other. On one hand, we hear words like this, content and humble. On the other hand, we hear words like this, blessed and exalted. Content and humble, blessed and exalted. Now those two pair of words may seem to be about as opposite as you could get, at least in the eyes of the world. And yet for those of us who would be followers of Jesus and his way, those sets of seemingly opposite words are truly bound together. Content and humble, blessed and exalted. Jesus brings up two of those seemingly opposite words, humble and exalted, in today's gospel. In the context of a parable about people clamoring for seats of honor and banquet. Now maybe you have found yourself in such a situation sometimes. But most often, I imagine, the context for us thinking about being exalted is it something other than about seating at a banquet. For in the world, we learned about being exalted in early ages. You see, the world teaches us that being exalted means things like winning trophies, coming in first place, being the champion, getting recognitions with awards, report cards, whatever it is. As we grow older, it means getting a promotion or making the big deal or being recognized in our field. Sports, business, and other professions, training programs actually talk about reaching success by being aggressive or even cocky. Those are attitudes the world promotes. And yet Jesus matches up something with being exalted that seems truly contrary. He says, those who humble themselves will be exalted. For Jesus and we who would follow him, we are called to live our lives and to teach our children and grandchildren and the generations after us this worldly opposite way of thinking about exaltation. The unique way of understanding that in Christ, humbling oneself is the way of exaltation, the way of Jesus. In the days of the New Testament, the phrase humbling oneself was most clearly identified with the activity of a servant. To humble oneself is not some aw-shucks kind of false humility. When Jesus is talking about humbling oneself, he is echoing the main theme of his teaching throughout his ministry. Whoever wants to be great among you, he says, must be your servant. As Christians, as followers of Jesus' way, we do not humble ourselves in order to get exalted, as if the two are separate things or one is the means to an end. It is in humbling ourselves as servants, servants of God and servants to others, that we are already in the process of being exalted. Followers of Jesus is a completely different understanding of what exaltation means. Think about Jesus as he spoke in his travels to Jerusalem in the Gospel of John. He said he was going to be lifted up and exalted. Where? On the cross. In that moment when he was completely God's willing servant, and sacrificing everything he was for the sake of others. Humbling himself, Philippians tells us, even to the point of death on the cross. Today's second lesson from Hebrews echoes this central theme of Christian life. It says, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Do you want yourself, your children, your grandchildren, those in the generations after you, to be exalted in the way Jesus understands the word? Then it may be not so much talking about winning the trophy or getting the award or taking first place. It may mean spending time talking together about being the best servant on the team, the best servant in the classroom, the best servant at home, the best servant at work, on our job, in our community, wherever it is God calls us to be. It may mean throwing a birthday party and inviting, instead of inviting all the cool kids, thinking about who are the poorest kids or the most ridiculed kids or the neediest kids. When you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, Jesus said. And there's one of those other words, blessed. Again, it's Jesus' way of reminding us that as followers of Jesus, we are called to think of being blessed in a completely different way. We experience God's greatest blessings not when we receive something, not when somebody does something for us, not even when we do something for someone who can ultimately end up repaying us. As followers of Jesus, we understand ourselves to be most fully blessed whenever we serve someone who can never fully pay us back. Because in the end, we can never fully pay back God for what God has done for us through His Son Jesus on the cross. We are blessed not when we receive something, but when we are giving something. Giving something away with no expectation of return at all. And whenever we experience such a blessing, we experience the action of God, who gives to us in grace. Undeserved total grace. We experience the gift of growing in faith together. Just yesterday, here among this community of faith, disciples of Jesus grew in faith together, sweating and installing a ramp for a Meal on Wheels recipient who was debilitated by a stroke in his life. Disciples of Jesus grew in faith together, standing out in grocery store parking lots, handing out flyers, collecting food items for backpack elementary school children, or paper products for our Lutheran Services home for transitional female veterans trying to get back on their feet. We grew in faith together on Thursday afternoon, standing in a circle with 85 young men from a JV football team, not expecting anything in return from them, but praying and forming a human chain to remind them that in the game of life, they are each a link in a chain bound together by the ultimate strength of the Lord. Times, events, things like that happen every week in your lives, in this place, and beyond. We receive the blessing and experience the blessing of God in lives of sacrificial service and giving for others. All this is undergirded by a fourth word we hear from today's second lesson from Hebrews 13:15. Be content with what you have. For indeed, what we have is the most precious thing of all, Hebrews says. We have the Lord. For the Lord says, I will never leave you or forsake you. And it is in this promise that we are most blessed. Blessed with contentment. Content with all that we have. Seeking blessings, not in love of money or getting more things, but seeking blessing to be able to lovingly serve and to give. That is our understanding of being blessed in life as followers of the way of Jesus. book, Loving Jesus, Luther, not the River, Dr. Mark Allen Cowell writes, faith is a gift from God, given to us through the Holy Spirit. It is the basic capacity to trust God in all things. As God's people, we engage in acts of faith formation and development in all stages of life to help each other understand what we believe, to find mature and appropriate ways of acting on those beliefs and applying them in our daily lives. God does not just accept us as we are and then leave us that way. God acts to help us become better people. A process of transformation that lasts a lifetime, by which we increasingly become more and more the people God wants us to be. Loving and living the way of Jesus. Is a way of life formed by faith. Life lived as followers of Jesus, growing in faith together. Content and humble, blessed and exalted. If you want four words to describe your life, there may not be four of them. A life formed by an ever-growing faith in Jesus, content and humble, finding God's blessings and exhortation, sharing, serving, and living God's love. Now, just like in the first year of marriage, lunch needs might be the concrete reality of more profound things like patience and love and understanding and forgiveness. So too, small concrete things like humbling ourselves and serving others in acts of love may indeed may be the shape of something deeply more profound. Living life blessed and exalted in the way of Jesus. As followers of Jesus, may we indeed grow in faith together. Amen.